Tyrone Harkus Foster is a passionate and results-driven storyteller based in Vancouver, Canada. With over 8 years of experience in marketing, social media, public relations, and brand development, he has excelled in in-house roles, agency positions, and most recently as the founder of his own agency, Between Friends. His deep connections in fashion, culture, and design empower him to shape compelling brand identities. Tyrone's passion for storytelling, evident in both his brand work and freelance journalism, allows him to craft narratives that bring brands to life, ensuring they resonate in the marketplace. So Tyrone, I'm so excited to have you here with me.
Thank you. I'm super excited to be here. It's, as you're just talking about, it's cool to be on this spectrum versus kind of doing it for my clients. So now I'm here with you and I'm excited. Thank you.
Yeah. And so to jump right into it, I'm always so curious how people's childhoods shape where they end up in life. And so are there any key moments throughout your early years that you feel like guided you into the career or even the lifestyle you have today in general?
Yes. So growing up, there was a lot of like creative inspiration in my life. My mom was super creative growing up, my grandma, all my cousins and such. But what really kind of launched my platform in terms of like exploring this side of my career and being creative in this sort of avenue was my sister, actually watching her and her friends, you know, get ready to go out and all the fashion they were wearing. And kind of that stemmed from us watching shows like The Hills and The OC and Laguna Beach. And so
iconic.
When I was younger and I was watching Laguna Beach and then The Hills, and I saw Lauren and Stephanie Pratt working for Kelly Catrone and in this like high stakes fashion environment that was kind of a little bit pointed and sharp, it was really exciting to me. And I think that sort of like stemmed a big part of where my inspiration came from to kind of follow this path, which then kind of years down the road led me to where I am today. But there's a lot of backstory there that we'll get into, I'm sure.
Yeah, I feel like those reality TV shows, especially those initial ones, really shaped pop culture in a way that I think no one expected. I feel like people expected it to be this kind of separate segment of culture, but the way that it's infiltrated, you know, with so many of them starting their own brands and in terms of them influencing fashion in such a big way and beauty, I feel like no one saw that coming at the time. So it's interesting to hear so many people kind of leaning into that for inspiration, both then and now.
Oh yeah, like MTV's like Making the Band and all these really great shows of them building these creatives like from the ground up was something that was really inspiring to me. Obviously, I was like super young when these shows were on. I think I was like maybe 11, 12 and 13 years old and I hadn't really explored those parts yet. But when I was in elementary school, I had this knack for writing and I was always just like face down in a book or sketching. And my mom would actually take me to Young Writers Conventions at this high school in Canada called Western. And it was the only time in my life where you could actually get me to get up at like 6 a.m. willingly and being excited for it. And so I would always go to these Young Writers Conventions where I'd get to learn how to write and build narratives and really learn how to tell a story from the lens that was meaningful to me, but then how I could then translate that for others. I think that was like one of the most pivotal points of me kind of learning that I was creative, but also thinking about how what that means to me and how I want to express that. That kind of later translated into photography, which then was, you know, obviously explored journalism, which I went into PR and social media and marketing. What's great though is that they all kind of intersect together. And so all of these different skills and connections I've picked up along the way have kind of come together in the last couple of years, which has created a really great foundation for me to be who I am and sort of create this new landscape for myself called Between Friends.
Amazing. Yeah, it's so nice when all of the skills that are more innate can kind of come together and form a career for you later on, because I think, you know, I feel that way too. And I feel like we're in such a lucky position because so many people don't experience that in their entire life where they're actually using those skills that are more natural to them and being able to use them all in a way that work together harmoniously. So yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't have said that better. Yeah, exactly.
Amazing. And so that leads you to Between Friends. Tell me a little bit about starting your agency.
Yeah. So I've always had this idea for Between Friends. You know, it's always been something that's been circulating. At one point, I wanted it to be an apparel company that was really rooted in like athleisure wear, and really relaxed sort of aesthetic that was still attainable in price point. But then, you know, last year I was laid off from one of the agencies I was working for. And at that point, it was really not sure what my next step was. I had had my run in agency life in Vancouver and it, you know, wasn't the best experience in terms of like, felt like you're giving so much, you're not getting much in return. And, you know, I didn't really know where I wanted to pivot next. And I knew I didn't want to go in-house because I'd done that already. But I also knew that PR and marketing and creativity and, you know, blending the three together was my path. And so I kind of took the idea between friends. And it was funny because my old coworker at that agency, we had this idea of what if there was like a cool, like, you know, talent management side of things. And I was like, that could be a cool avenue. But I really knew what my goal was. And I was like, let's just stick to that and the rest will come into place if I just work for it. And so that kind of led me to sorting between friends. I really also wanted to shift the perceptions of agencies and especially in PR where it is a little bit stuffy. It is very, very elite in some ways. And, you know, it's who you know and what you know, it just sort of gets in the way of the work and the real meaningful connections and sometimes the results for your clients and your partners. And so I started between friends because I really wanted to remove that from the landscape and sort of like be this beacon that people and brands and clients and even people that want to work in the field but don't know where to start can kind of come as like a launch pad. And so I think that's where my inspiration for Between Friends came and where we're going to sort of like fill that void in the landscape is being approachable, being honest and being transparent. And, you know, if a client wants to see a pitch where it gets sent out, like let's show them, let's give them an insight to the back end so they can have more appreciation and understanding for the work that we do, which then in turn like makes us better partners. And I even don't like using that term clients because it kind of feels very transactional. I love the term friends and partner or, you know, community because I think that's what is missing from the space these days. And I think agencies and, you know, corporate agencies, like they love to boast about that. But when it comes to the actual nitty gritty and the in-person interactions, you don't see it. Or it's really incredibly like washed on social media and overly promoted when it's like, that isn't actually the culture that is being lived internally with the team and, you know, amongst the clients. And I've seen many clients among various agencies leave and transition to other agencies, but what they're always missing is like that really good connection and understanding piece. And it's more than just Zoom calls and, you know, sending clients a meaningful letter on their birthday or their anniversary when they started the brand. It comes down to how do we connect as people and how do we know each other personally and professionally and how can I be there for you as a friend, but also as like your professional partner. And I think that is the goal with Between Friends and how my team and I are structuring the agency.
Oh, wow. Tyrone, I love that so much. Yeah, I feel like, I don't know, I feel like so many agencies or professionals in general kind of approach this relationship building in a really not genuine way and thinking that that does not come across, but it really does. I mean, it's so apparent when someone truly cares to foster this connection or when your birthday is in their calendar and their assistant sends you a note, you know, like you can really tell the difference. And I feel like people kind of think they're being slick, but when it really comes down to it, people know it's an energetic thing.
Oh, it is. And like, I really vibe off energy and transparency and also just the connection piece. One of our clients, one of our first clients, Vigil, his name is Steven. He's the founder and he's amazing. I actually got to know about Vigil because I had a candle brand and they were like really a long time ago. And I love what he was doing. I was like, I want to kind of be like that. And then things kind of subsided. And then I started writing more and entering the journalist space. And then I started featuring him in some of my articles. And that opened up this like door to like us talking and relationship and chatting about PR. And he became one of the first clients that Between Friends actually signed before we'd even launched yet officially. And, you know, we've had amazing results with like the press and the coverage and also like our relationships because we sort of build that bridge on that personal level, but also that professional level. And like, we've done the work to understand the inner workings of each other and how we can kind of better uplift each other as well. And it's also goes without saying, like, I think a lot of agencies just want to look at that bottom line of like what the client can do for them sometimes. But I also look at it as like, what can I do for you? What can you do for me? But also what can we do for the community that we want to serve? I think is the biggest pillar that I try to pull out of any new discovery meeting, any like new client onboarding. It's like, what are we trying to achieve together, but individually, and how can we help each other get there? I think when you can have those honest conversations with, you know, prospects, clients, and interpersonal connections, professional connections, whether you're at a gathering, you know, those are the things that kind of propel you forward and really make that connection together more meaningful and stronger. And I think people adopted that, they would get further, but also their network would grow more authentically and there wouldn't be so many like fillers, you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. And so going back to your point about seeing some challenges working in-house at an agency, how have you used those learnings to avoid those, you know, pain points for your future and current team members at Between Friends?
Totally. I think transparency with the team and stuff when it comes to, you know, like how dollars and finances are being handled. You know, if you're running low on funds for the agency, not able to make payroll, why are you doing all these like team events and going to all these crazy outings that cost a big amount of money? You know, being honest and transparent about things like that, you know, where we're at with the state of clients and client feedback. I think one of the biggest things being in-house at another agency and past agencies is that clients would give feedback and you could take that to your superiors and your agency directors, your vice presidents, whatever. But that feedback would only kind of go one way, you know, you tell them, they take it under advisement or so to speak, and then you kind of never hear about it again. Or it's one of those things, oh, that client is like paying the bills, keeping the lights on, so we have to keep them. But yet, you know, I've been in situations where, you know, I've been verbally abused by clients on a Zoom call, and, you know, I have some team members who don't know how to handle that. And, you know, I do, but what can you really say on that call and then take it to your, you know, your senior team member to kind of help you navigate it? And so I think with how I want to approach Between Friends and my experience is transparency with the team, kind of always accepting their feedback and, you know, bringing it into consideration and implementing it together. Because if I'm not on certain calls, like I can't really say how to navigate things if I wasn't on it. So I'm leaning on my team to give me that feedback and to sort of be a pillar of support, because we're all there to help each other. We're all there to kind of meet the same common goal and get the same result. And so I think if we can sort of connect with each other and actually listen, I think that is sort of one of the things that will make your business prosper and your client relationships prosper, but also team members prosper as well. With Between Friends too, I think there is that connection piece as well, that, you know, if there's sort of like any animosity or there's ever any disagreements, that it kind of gets handled in like a really respectful way, and where there's that open dialogue of like trust and communication. I think I've worked with agencies and people where they just really can't accept feedback. And when you do give them that feedback, it's sort of like you're sort of tiptoeing around things. And whether I'm the agency founder and the managing director or not, like people can always come to me and tell me whether I've done something wrong or I've said something that is like, you know, offside, or, you know, if they didn't take it the right way. Like I'm always the first person to say, I'm so sorry, that was never my intention and I apologize. Like, how can I say that better in the future so you understand or resonates better with you? I think taking accountability is something that leaders on all levels need to be able to do without having it being explained to them. They need to take accountability.
Yeah, definitely. I think something I think a lot about is protecting our team from outside forces, yes, like clients or whatever the relationships are that we bring them into, and how it's our responsibility as founders to protect them, make sure that they're guided and supported in those ways. But then it's also like protecting them in a way from yourself and making sure that you are stepping up to the plate as a leader and taking accountability for your own mistakes and your own actions, to also provide them the most positive work environment internally too.
Oh,
so
totally.
It's, yeah, it's a balance of all of it, which can be challenging to navigate. Mm-hmm. But I feel like it's something that we all need to kind of think about continuously.
Yeah.
Because I think when you're starting out, you kind of have this level of imposter syndrome that almost, yeah, keeps you in check in a way. It's like you're checking yourself through your imposter syndrome. But then once you get to a point in your career where the imposter syndrome starts to diminish a little bit, I think that's where it can get, I would think, more challenging to be continuously checking yourself in those ways too.
Oh, yeah. And I think, or sorry, what I know actually is failure is inevitable. Failure as, you know, someone that's sort of as an accounting executive, that's a founder, that's a president, whatever that role you're playing it in, failure is inevitable. You will fail, but it's sort of how you navigate the waters of failure and get back up and keep going. I actually love the idea of failure because that means you're constantly learning something. You tried something, it didn't work, but then there's always a way to pivot. And that's sort of like the PR marketing brain, as I'm sure you know, like there's always a way to pivot out of something and to get a better result or take a learning lesson and, you know, bring out a key takeaway. I think that is sort of one of the biggest things that I've been learning as, you know, an agency founder, is that I'm going to fail, but how I fail is up to me. And what I take out of that stroke of failure is also up to me. And I can move on from it and use it as a learning lesson, or I can kind of sit and dwell on it and let my imposter syndrome take hold and I could like bow out. But that's just not an option. You know, I, yeah, know that I will succeed just as much as I will have failures along the way. And that is a beautiful part of the story.
Yeah, definitely. So I'd love to hear a little bit more about the multidisciplinary approach that you take through Between Friends.
Totally. Yeah. So I got my start in this whole space when I was younger because I started out as a photographer for various brands in Calgary and also then sort of in Vancouver when I moved here back when I was like 19 turning 20. And you really started out because I was taking really great photos, you know, in the fashion and beauty space for a lot of really great clients and, you know, in-house brands I was working for. One of them like being Bobley, a really great retail group, you know, back in the day in Calgary was this really beautiful chain of high-end salons called Head Candy. But I really, really hated the way that my photos and my work was being displayed. And so I kind of was like, I don't like this. The language isn't adding up with things. And naturally being a storyteller, I wanted to just make sure that it resonated and they both intersected beautifully. And so I sort of like took on the role of social media and that kind of snowballed into marketing assistant, then marketing manager, and then creative manager, then creative marketing director. But I think with Between Friends, we became multidisciplinary because I do have those skill sets in all those different spaces. You know, I came from retail background. I've also worked in-house and, you know, social media and marketing. There's also sort of like the PR aspect now that I've really built up, and then the event side of things. There's even off like crisis comms and, you know, corporate relations that I've done as well. But I think with Between Friends, the multidisciplinary approach comes from agencies need to be adapting to the landscape these days. And I've seen and heard of so many PR agencies kind of going under because they refuse to adapt a multidisciplinary approach. And that really means, you know, founders and presidents and agency directors also continuing to level up their skill set and be multidisciplinary in that own right as well. And so me having like that background in social, and I have team members who do have that background in graphic design, but they also do really great event management, you know? So I think it's really playing on the many different skill sets of your team to build a really, really robust service offering to deliver really great results for your clients. And with Between Friends, we do everything from digital marketing to social media management. PR is a really, really big service offering of ours, as well as media relations and event production. But I really think we streamline things into, obviously we have our core approaches that we do and our services, but we do have the capabilities to expand on that for clients who may need to bring that into our service offering, who may not also always have the budget to go somewhere else. You know, I think with agencies being able to sort of fill in the voids where clients need and be proactive about that is a necessity. But I'm also never going to pitch our agency and our service offering for something that I know we can't deliver on, or where there's someone better suited to do that, which is where I think it's amazing to have really great agency partners. You know, agencies can exist together and they can partner together and they can both deliver on really great work. You know, you could have a PR agency and a social media agency both offer very similar services, but, you know, come together on a project and, you know, excel beautifully and kind of both take the reins in certain spaces where they both really excel at. The two aren't mutually exclusive anymore. And I think collaboration is super key in a landscape that's being super competitive, but that's also kind of shrinking. You know, there's so many agencies that have gone under. Unfortunately, many have been, you know, have succumbed to layoffs. I was, you know, at that, what do you call that? I was sort of victim to that, which is, which is fine. It's part of the game. But I think that's sort of how we look at multidisciplinary, is really being flexible and dynamic in such a rigid landscape.
Yeah. And I mean, it's so important too, because I feel like when it comes to marketing a brand, when there's all these different players in the game of marketing that brand as a whole, it can feel really disjointed. It's like all of a sudden their storytelling through their PR is completely different than the look and feel of their social media and the messaging that they're sharing there. And it creates this very confusing company for the consumer. So I think having an agency that can take it all under their wings and create one really clear, cohesive vision for their marketing is so beneficial. And like you said, when you have to lean on partner agencies to do that at times, I think, you know, it's so good and important, and there's so much competition in this space sometimes, but I think that being able to work together is so important.
Yeah, there's room for everyone, honestly. And I think how we go about that is sort of how we determine how we work and collaborate together. I'm really happy that you said how things can come disjointed when the brand is being told differently via PR versus social media, because we've actually had this issue with some clients in the past at my agency, even at past agencies, where the PR storytelling is beautiful. It's, you know, the bio, the about, the key messaging. It is so cohesive and well done. And then it comes to the pitching side of things, and the journalists are going to social media and they're looking at like the aesthetic of it and how it's being laid out, and it's just not matching up. And so they refuse to write about it because they're like, well, the story is beautiful, but like the display of it isn't like, it's not aesthetically pleasing, it's not beautifully done, or it's not refined enough to be in an Elle or to be in a Vogue or a Chatelaine or a fashion magazine. So I think with services and PR agencies, I like the idea of bringing it all in sort of under one house, because you sort of do have that control over those variables. What's that saying? You can't control the storm, but you can control how you move through it. And I think that's sort of like how I look at the strategy of bringing something to market or putting it out there, or like the go-to-market launch is like, we can't control the elements, but we definitely can control how we move through them. And that really comes down to the brand look, the brand feel, the language is being used. Right now with one of our clients, we're doing the PR program for them. They're a technical outerwear brand that's launching. And the PR program is great. It's going really, really well. But before I launched the PR program, we had to sort of, you know, even though it wasn't in our service offering, we just had to expand and redo the copy for the website and sort of like the social media, just because what I was writing for our pitching and our press releases was really refined, but it wasn't matching what was on the website. And so we needed to make sure that it was all cohesive. And instead of, you know, bringing the press release to a different level, I'd rather just bring that brand language up to the level of the press release so it's more cohesive. And then at least that way we've added some extra value to our partner and our friend. And now we can sort of like go to market and launch in a way that's more cohesive. There's a better story. People can understand it. And with brands and founders and agency life, I think one thing you ask yourself when you're looking at client stuff is, I understand this, but will my target market understand this? Mm-hmm. And if I have to read something 3-4 times to understand it, chances are the next person that is just being introduced to it for the first time, they're going to look, skim over it. And it's very TLDR, like too long, didn't read, too confusing, didn't read, like we're moving past it.
Yeah, absolutely. So tying right into that then, what do you think are the key elements of a strong brand today?
Authentic storytelling, knowing who you are, but also knowing the problem that you're providing the solution for and how you can do it well in a way that's like most cost effective, that really reaches the, you know, the deep need of your target market and your consumer. But I also think not being afraid to be bold and disruptive. I think in a lot of days, we see a lot of brands trying to mimic this Kardashian blueprint that we see of pretty imagery, really cool like marketing and, you know, great visuals. But at the end of the day, visuals can only sell out products so much. It's the features, it's the benefits, it's the fab. What's going to really wow me? How am I being brought into the behind the scenes and knowing who you are as a founder of the brand, as a brand itself? Who is your team? What, at the end of the day, what do you stand for? And how does that, you know, mesh with me and my values and my perceptions on like what a good meaningful life is or what a really great product is? I think those are some of the really key pillars, but I think creativity is something that is kind of being washed out these days in-house and brands and agencies, because people in the leadership spaces aren't giving the younger generation and the creatives the necessary tools and the platform to stand on to deliver that. And I think if brands can really come back to those foundation points, they will succeed and they'll do really, really well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that sometimes brands are getting so caught up in, like you were saying, like the imagery or things like that. But it's like, start with, is the product good? Mm-hmm. And are the values strong and totally aligned with the target market? Because without that, building out all of these other things doesn't even make sense. We're always reminding people it's brand first, then marketing. And if you try to do it in a different order, things get really chaotic and you end up with a really confused market.
Oh, 100%. And what I also look at too is, if I were to leave, say I have a beauty brand, and if I am in a room with influencers and I put that beauty brand, all those products on a table, and I leave the room, I want to know that everything that's on that table is going to, that it should say so much about the brand, even when I'm not in the room to explain it. They should be able to look at that and understand who the brand is, what they offer, what is so special about them, and what's unique. So what is a unique selling point? Like, your brand is everything that you are. It says everything about you, especially when you're not in the room. And I think that is one of the biggest things that always stood out to me is, if I'm not in the room to explain my brand, my product on there on the table, will it speak for itself? And I think with founders and, you know, product developers can ask themselves that question when building their brand, I think that'll get them so far. It'll also remove a lot of like financial disparity in the mix too. They don't have to like invest so much dollars in the actual branding and the continuous like marketing. And if, you know, the go-to-market strategy fails, I think, you know, that will eliminate a lot of like the middle work to achieve that really great end result. And it's also not always like sunshine and rainbows. Like, as I said, failure is inevitable, and you have to sometimes go through 2 rebrands to get there, or you have to go through a couple product revisions to get there. I think really accepting feedback from your team, your partners, your suppliers, but most importantly, your target market and your customer base is the most influential.
Yeah, absolutely. And so with you having so much on your plate with having an agency, which I know how busy that can get, and modeling and journalism, how do you juggle it all?
To be honest with you, I'm still trying to find my foothold in all that. It's definitely been challenging. I'm also not a morning person, as I kind of alluded to earlier. But, you know, really, I've been able to lean on my friends and my support system for that, like, moral support, because I'm a very anxious person. I also have like ADHD, and I can get in my head a lot. And whether I display that or not, imposter syndrome can also really affect me. And, you know, I can hold a straight face, but it's there. But I think with, you know, juggling everything, it's been really leaning on my support system that's been helping me get through that. One of my best friends, you know, her name is Lola. She's really helped me, like, just like look at how I spend my time and, you know, what deserves the most effort that day and how I can like push things off. But with sort of like juggling everything, it's been a challenge, but it's been a really great thing that I've been learning how to navigate, because I need to know when to take a client meeting, but also when to take a break and go for a run, or, you know, if an article's due and I have a bunch of pitches due, like, how do I prioritize those? I'm still trying to navigate that sort of landscape, but, you know, it's something that I will evolve with over time, but I'm looking forward to, like, you know, figuring it out.
Yeah, I think it's something that it's kind of a continual process of learning and making the changes as things go along. I feel like 2 things that have really helped me is, one is that I did this exercise where you list your top 3 priorities, like what is really important to you in life. And then you do an audit of your daily schedule and look at, is everything on that daily schedule actually aligned with those top 3 priorities? Because it's interesting to find that a lot of times it's like, whoa, why am I spending, you know, X amount of hours a week going to these social events with these people that I don't align with and that aren't, you know, moving me towards my top 3 priorities, or, you know, whatever the case may be. Why am I scrolling on TikTok for 4 hours?
Oh, yes.
You know, so that has really helped me. And then also the Ivy Lee method. Have you ever heard of that one?
No, but what I feel like I saw TikTok about this not too long ago.
Okay.
Please, yeah, let me know, because watch this like solve all my problems.
Okay, yeah, I might butcher it, but the way that I remember it is that you create a list of just 5 things on your to-do list, and you write them in order of priority, and then you only work through it in that order, and you work on each thing until it's completed. Because I find that something that can really like slow down your day is when you're all of a sudden task hopping like every 30 seconds to the next thing, which I feel like our phones are the worst for. It's like
guilty as charged. You see
the email come in and you're like, oh, okay, no, switching to that. But it's like really making you focus. And I find that paired with like time batching, so knowing, oh, I'm only working on this within this time frame, and emails and calls and whatever can wait, have really helped me maximize my time. So I feel like it's like, to me, it's a mix of maximizing your time and then also making sure that you're using your time according to what's actually important to you.
That's kind of genius, because I'm so guilty of the task hopping. I'll get an email in as I'm like writing a press release, and I'm like hopping into that, and all of a sudden now I'm sending all these like various assets that honestly probably could be sent tomorrow or the day after, because that story isn't due for another 3-4 weeks. So that it's, you know, it's true. I think you're also guilty of that. And the doom scroll, don't even get me started on the doom scroll. Also, because, you know, you work in social media and marketing and creative. So, you know, a big part of our job is to be on our phone looking for inspiration, creativity. Like, I don't know, the hashtag was trending, so I'm going to have to save that and like see how we can adopt that into our content, you know. But at What they don't tell you is that doom scrolling quickly leads into like, now you're down the 6 to 4 rabbit hole, or now you've like watched those really crazy ASMR videos for 2 hours. And you're like, where is my day gone?
Yeah. All of a sudden I'm watching like a 25 part Why We Broke Up. And I'm like, whoa, what happened? Yes. Where am I? It's 2 a.m. What's going on? So yes. Yeah, I feel like, you know, keeping on top of the priorities can be important. And then how do you find that your experience with modeling and journalism tie into Between Friends? Like, how is it all interconnected and synergistic? Because I imagine that it is very much so.
Yeah. So with journalism, it's great because a lot of the editors that I'd work with or be pitching along the way, I actually get to see them at functions now. When I'm in Toronto, I get to like interact with them on a different level, which is great. But what's really helped me in Between Friends, which is a bit of like a really great thing for us, is that being on the media side now too, is I get to sort of be a part of how the media landscape changes, and I get to see how it's shifting. I get to sort of like see how pitches from other agencies are being written and what's moving the needle, what's getting picked up, or how strategic they're being in sort of like the press releases, what language is being used, and how the creative is evolving over time with brands and agencies and just overall journalism and marketing landscape in general. That is, I would say, was one of the biggest value points I've really been appreciative of receiving, is that. On the modeling side, it's been cool because you get to sort of see how a shoot is brought together. You get to see sort of like call sheets and, you know, what the flow looks like, what's expected of, you know, as a producer of a shoot, as a creative director for a shoot, but also as like the talent, even like back end, if you're like sort of like a EA or what do they call them? Like the show producers, but you know, you get the point. You get to see how all avenues are being built on both sides. And I think that's sort of been one of the biggest blessings for me, being able to experience all many sides of that, even like sort of like how the campaign then is like brought to the end result. With like, I've done a couple of rehearsal campaigns, I've been able to see how that's been brought to life, or I've shot like Gravity Pope, and like you get to see the e-com is shot versus full on like campaign, which is really great, or video campaigns and all that stuff. So with having all of those many different avenues of having my foot in those different pots, I guess you could say, it's been really nice and a big blessing.
Yeah, I can definitely relate to that in, you know, different components of my life. But when you're able to get that more holistic understanding, mm-hmm. through all of the different things that you're doing, it can be, you know, such an asset to the other people you're working with, because you have this unique understanding and lens of the landscape. But then also for yourself, it kind of puts all the pieces together within your own mind and allows you to kind of think of things differently.
Yeah, and I think it's really just like learning too. It's been a really awesome experience just to like learn all these different things and to learn from so many great people who are really great leaders in their spaces and in their fields and industries. I don't think that I would have had that trajectory had I just stuck with the plain traditional model of you go to school, you get your undergrad, and then you go into, you know, your first entry level job and you go from there. The route that I took, I'm super excited about and I'm very blessed and happy about. It wasn't easy. Like a big part of my life, I grew up in foster care. I've been living in Maryland since I was 16 years old, and I had to juggle speed skating and being in school. And also one of my first jobs ever was working at Starbucks as a barista. So, you know, that all led me into kind of this path because I've gotten to choose my own way and pave that own path myself. And, you know, going to school wasn't like the traditional high school experience. Like, I unfortunately missed out on that because of skating and having to work full time to like pay my own rent. But that also led me to go down so many more creative paths. Like, because of that, I was able to buy my own camera, which then served as a launch pad for where I am today. And I don't think if I had the traditional upbringing and norms, I don't think I would be here today. So I'm really blessed to be here and where I am.
Yeah, I think that it's also one of those things where when you're going through those times, it's so hard to see out to the other side, mm-hmm. and like the light at the end of the tunnel. But I feel like anyone, when you talk about the moments that impacted them the most, it's always the challenging, you know, moments in their life, or the times that they strayed off of the traditional or typical path that led them in their unique journey. So I feel like, yeah, all of those pieces end up becoming you and where you end up.
Oh yeah. I had two caseworkers throughout my, you know, duration in the foster care system and the government system. And they were so instrumental in allowing me to be myself and be expressive of myself and to help me push to get any opportunity that I was sort of going after, whether it's like filling out the applications or knowing how to talk about myself or how to write that essay or how to just even show up. I think, you know, those two are so pivotal in how I've become this creative and also just the business person I am today or this founder, because, you know, we lean on the network and our community so much. And those two are such a big part of my community that really helped me see that I can be anyone I want to be and I can get all the things I want and deserve. I just also have to work for them just as hard. Mm-hmm. And that no matter what my life circumstances were, that the only person standing in the way of that is me. And if I can not be my own obstacle, then I can kind of go anywhere and be anyone I want to.
Mm-hmm. And I think that learning that at a younger age is such an advantage, because some people go their whole lives getting in the way of themselves and blaming everyone else and not recognizing, like, I am the creator of my life and my future. So being able to learn that lesson early on, although I'm sure it was challenging to face that early on, I feel like in the end is probably a blessing.
Yeah. And my therapist always told me too, when I was young, even the therapist I have today, feelings are great, but they're not always valid to the situation that you're in. You know, like, we all have our feelings and you have a right to feel them, but it's also how we apply our feelings in certain scenarios is what can make or break anything and everything. And so I think adopting that sort of like mentality has really helped me navigate certain relationships, certain connections, certain industries, fields, and even like hardships. You know, we all go through hardships. When I was laid off, it was a hardship. I didn't really know what I was going to do next. I didn't even know if I wanted to still stay in the space. I was like, I'm going to go get my social work diploma or degree, and I'm going to just completely shift gears, because that's recession proof. You know, people are always in need of social services, and there's always youth and adults in need. But where, even though that's a passion of mine, it's not my passion that I see myself living every single day. And so hence why I'm here.
Yeah, and I definitely see that in terms of what you were saying about challenges before and how you rise to those challenges, being interconnected with what you're saying here is, like, I feel like people that I've seen go through a challenge and the way that they handle it has made me respect them even more than I did prior to that maybe like mistake that they made, versus when you aren't able to like come out of that on the other side, you know, it's really what makes or breaks in a lot of cases.
Oh yeah. And so one of my friends was like, I'm just like, how did you get to where you are? Like, you know, it's like everything's working out so well for you right now. And I was like, yeah, but you know what? It wasn't always, you know, there was a couple of months where I was like, am I gonna make rent? Am I, you know, am I gonna be able to pay for my phone bill this month? What I've been trying to do is showcase the hardships and be transparent about those along the way, because I think we all get vexed by social media so easily and polarized by, you know, the fancy stuff and all the boxes. But I'm the first to say, like, on social media, I may look like I'm opening up some really cool boxes, some really cool brands, but you know what? Those were sent to me. Like, I'm not buying those products. I don't ever want someone to think that I'm living this falsehood and then they want to try and achieve that, because it's completely unattainable. And a lot of lives you see on social media, they're unattainable even for the person that is displaying that lifestyle. And that's something that people won't be honest and tell you about, but I will. And I think that's goes into the aspect of between friends and our transparency and our honesty is even those key moments. A lot of the influencers we work with, they're really great and I love them. But also some of them, like, they also do show a different side of their lives that necessarily isn't the life they actually live. And they're also honest about that too. And I think we're seeing that come to play in a lot more, you know, been reading a lot about transparency marketing, which is something that I think is really cool and that I think a lot of agencies can adopt and marketers can adopt more, is transparency marketing is kind of like value-based marketing. It's going to get you so far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. No, and I'm glad you're kind of shedding light on that, because I feel like in the industry, we all kind of know how it works. It's like, yeah, we know that these influencers are getting these packages. We know they're sent on these trips and so on and so forth. But I feel like sometimes it's hard for me to remember that so many people don't have that perspective because they're so far removed from that world.
Yeah.
And I think that's where, you know, shedding more and more light on it in terms of the creator space, but then in terms of like entrepreneurs, I think having a network that you can talk to candidly about the challenges along the way is so important too, because I feel like you know, everyone shows the highlight reel. And I mm-hmm. think when it comes to business, sometimes there are certain reasons why you can't even be transparent.
Yes.
But it's like where you can have that internal network where you can be fully transparent with these people and have that support system is so important, because I know through Oko, like we've had the extreme ups and downs in the past few years. And without a network and honestly like a business partner who, you know, I'm so close with, mm-hmm. I feel like it'd be so challenging to navigate, because all you see is the highlight reel and you almost feel like no one else is going through these things.
Yep. Oh yeah. That's actually like when we got coffee a few weeks ago, I was super excited because, you know, just sitting down like founder to founder, it was great to just like talk about like challenges and like being transparent. Like, you know, I think I even talked about like pay structure and how to like make things work. And, you know, like, how do you figure this out? Like, it was just a very like nice heart to heart that sometimes I think people want to gatekeep certain things, or they don't want to be honest about like the struggles because they think it makes them less of like a established entrepreneur founder. When I think quite contrarily, it's the opposite. It actually makes you, you know, more relatable and authentic. And, you know, it's not all sunshines and rainbows. Like there's going to be so many struggles along the way. And if you can just have transparent, honest conversations with like the people around you and like find that right network, you'll have a really great system to help elevate you, that'll be there with you for when the highs are high, when the lows are really, really low. And, you know, the two are inevitable.
Yeah, absolutely. Love that.
I'm so glad you got a podcast. This is like, this must be super fun for you.
It's so fun because I get to hear so much more about people's lives than I would even in the day-to-day. Like even if we get coffee five times, I feel like some of the questions wouldn't be chatted about. So it's so interesting, especially talking to people who I do know, like clients of Oko or people that we work with. It's like I get to see a whole different side, which is so fun.
Yeah, even talking now, I'm like, I kind of didn't even have that perspective on that like fully until I've like gotten the thought out. And I was like, yeah, I vibe with that. That is so true. Like I really do believe that.
Yeah.
I mean, like listening to myself talk, I'm like, this is great. Like this is really fun because I'm getting to like
almost know yourself, right?
Yeah.
Overall, what do you think has been the biggest lesson learned since starting Between Friends?
I think, yeah, the biggest lesson really is the support, believing in ourselves and the team. You know, I wouldn't be here without some of the team members I have today. You know, when this was just an idea, they were the first to tell me like, you can do it. My friends, you can do it. Even like past clients that like, you know, my old agency and I have shared that have switched to me. Like they're always like, we have seen this in you since like you were on our account from day one. Like we just know you have what it takes. And, you know, being honest with yourself and the people around you, you can get to anywhere you want to be. And I think with growing up with how I've grown up and how hard I've had to work to get to where I am today, that I know the only thing standing in my way is going to be me. And that's really about it. I think that is sort of like one of my biggest key takeaways and learnings is I'm my biggest strength, but I'm also my biggest weakness.
Yeah. Well, congratulations on launching the agency. I'm so excited for everything to officially come to life. And I'm so impressed with everything that you've built already. So I'm really excited to see everything that's to come.
Thank you.
I'm also curious to pick your brain on what skills you think are the most important to have in PR today.
Totally. I think when it comes to PR, the biggest thing I would say is not even your writing. Everyone can write. And at this point with AI and everywhere, like
really everyone can write.
And everyone does have that capability. And, you know, I've told some of my team, if you're going to use AI, like that's great. But if you're using AI, what you need to make sure is that you have that personal spin on it, that there's still like that personality coming through, but that you're also looking at how it's being written for you and using like your right judgment. Like, you know, does that sound like a robot wrote it? If it does, then it probably did. So you probably shouldn't send that. But when it comes to PR, the biggest thing that you need is the ability to forge connections and relationships and to get to know someone. You know, you can't walk into an event and not talk to anyone and be in PR and expect things are going to go well and go your way. Like if you can't be someone that can be the first person to go say hi to someone, then that's a skill I implore everyone to adopt. Even if you're not in PR, that's just a skill that everyone should adopt and learn, is being able to be the first person to go up to someone and say hello, because the hello will get you so dang far. Like you have no idea. There have been times where I have been so petrified, like Leo, outgoing and all, I've gone in certain moments, I'm like, I can't do this. Like, if I don't say hi, it's not going to work. But I did do it. You know, I actually, when I was in Miami recently, the founder of FUBU, and he was like on Shark Tank and everything, like, he's amazing. I love him. I was at this event for F1 and I saw him there. It was just like a closed little party and I was there and I wanted to say hi so bad. And I was like, no, I'm not gonna do it. And then I went and did it. And I went and I said hello to him. I shook his hand. I got his card. We've exchanged emails. And like, that never would have happened if I had just not said hello, you know?
Yeah.
I would have never even like gotten into PR. I'm at the age that got me into PR. Had I not like been at an event that my ex's company was holding and like not said hello to like the people hosting it. I think that's the biggest thing anyone needs to have in PR is the ability to build relationships and be social. That is one thing you can't teach anyone. That's something that they have to do the work to develop themselves and to find that little spark that they can then really put out there into the world because everyone has it in them, you know? Everyone can be social. Everyone can be, you know, endearing and welcoming, but it's sort of like how they choose to bring that out in a way that feels authentic to them. How I do it is not going to necessarily work for anybody else because I can just go to someone and just like, be like, hey, how's it going? Like, I love your outfit. Oh my God, those shoes are super fab. Like, oh my God, like your eyebrows are just looking super good. Like, you know, you can find these little things, whether it's about, you know, the aesthetic of someone or whether it's just like, oh, I read that book last week. Hope it's a good read. Like, I'm Tyrone. Like, let me know what you think of it. Here's my email. You know, it's just little things that can get you so far. So in PR to make it, I would say being able to forge relationships, build connections, and being able to go to a room and just say hello.
Yeah. And I think with the going up to someone and saying hello, when I think about it on the receiving end, I've never, ever, ever been like, why did they say hi?
Right?
Like, I've only ever been relieved mm-hmm. that someone is starting the conversation or like flattered that they wanted to come chat with me. So I feel like remembering that when you are approaching someone, the likelihood of them having a negative reaction to it is so, so, so low.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, why not put yourself out there mm-hmm. when there could be so much potential coming from it?
Oh, exactly. What I really challenged myself to do because I spent 3 months in Miami for work. We did some F1 events and worked with some other really great partners out there. But I challenged myself because I didn't really know a lot of people out there. I knew some people I met along the way. And even the friendships I did develop, they were really great. But even though I was still out there for so long, I still challenged myself to go to a bar or to go to a club by myself and say hi to at least 3 people. And just to see how it went, every time I did that, I would meet someone new. And like now, like I still talk to them today. You know, one of them is a really, really, really good friend of mine now that's coming up for my birthday next month in August. And like, it was just because I challenged myself to go and just to a new environment by myself, say hello with no expectations. And now I have some really great friendships out of it. I met some really great people out of it. I went to some cool parties out of it. Like, it's just, you don't know where it's going to take you. But I think if you can adopt that skill, like, you're going to be so golden in your personal life, your relationship life, your professional life. But also, like, think of how good that makes you feel just on the inside, knowing, like, you can go in a room, you can go to an event by yourself. You know, your plus one is like, I'm not coming anymore. And you're like, I got this. And you can make that room yours, you know, make that room yours.
Mm, yeah, definitely instills a level of confidence. Mm-hmm. So tell me about a project you're excited about right now.
Right now, I'm just really excited for Between Friends. It's like, you know, do our launch. There is so much work that's like gone into the creative. Shout out to our graphic designer and director of design, Mark Tingzen. I've put him through the ringer with so many iterations of the branding and the aesthetic and the tone. But we've finally reached this like beautiful point where the branding and the product itself and how we're visually articulating ourselves is just so different. And it's, I don't like the term disruptive, but it definitely is a little bit more disruptive compared to some other agencies out there in the PR landscape. I think they go like that safe corporate route, but this is super like vivacious and like creative and, you know, just like really plays on the senses a little bit, which I really, really like. I think when it comes to like marketing towards like your different senses, it's like a really fun thing to do. But that was like the project I'm really most passionate and excited about. The next one is really working with one of our clients, Hike City, and getting them off the ground. They're a low impact and sustainable outerwear brand that's sort of like, you know, made in Japan, but they're Canadian born and raised, which is really great. So we're doing like their sort of like market launch and their PR right now, which has been really exciting to do. The founder, Eva Lin, she used to be the global marketing director for Alibaba, which is crazy. Wow. So what a really amazing, you know, friend and partner to have and to even learn from. You know, we can learn so much from our clients, even though they're coming to us for expertise. We get to learn so much from them if we can just open our ears a little bit. So it's been really great getting to work with them as well.
Yay. Well, I'm so excited for Between Friends and excited to see what comes of all the projects you guys have in the works. So where can everyone find you?
You can find us at betweenfriendsagency.com or at betweenfriendsagency on Instagram. Or if you want to keep up with some behind the scenes or kind of getting off the ground, my Instagram at tarnharkisfoster. We'll have all the info there. But yeah, if you want to subscribe and follow us, because there's going to be a lot of really good, exciting things along the way. And, you know, for anyone that's Vancouver based, you're definitely going to want to come into our launch party, because if you ask anyone in the city about me, I can throw a dang good party.
Can't wait. Yay. Yay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This is so good.